From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. A few days ago, the Federal Communications Commission approved a monthly subsidy to help make sure millions of people with low incomes can afford to get online. The extension of the so-called Lifeline subsidy, $9.25 a month, would now apply to not just phone lines, but also cellular data and broadband internet. Nova Safo takes a look at the potential impact.
In Brooklyn, New York, Tony Schloss can tell you stories of school students doing their homework outside so they can get access to public Wi-Fi because they don't have broadband at home in the low-income housing projects where they live.
The homework, most times it's online, whether sometimes it needs to be turned in online, other times the research occurs online.
Schloss works for a nonprofit that provides public Wi-Fi in Brooklyn's Red Hook community, much of which is housing projects.
Saving $10 goes a long way in communities like Red Hook.
Schloss says this could open up broadband to more homes. The FCC's changes to the Lifeline program could also go a long way in the telecom industry. Doug Brake of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation says new companies will enter the Lifeline program.
The big addition that the FCC is hoping to bring in are a lot of the sort of cable providers. That will obviously bring additional, you know, competition and choice for qualifying participants.
The FCC wants to make it easier for companies to participate by reducing their administrative burden. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Natural language processing is an area of computer science that's been getting a lot of attention in recent years. Why? Well, because we've always wanted to get from fictional examples, like a couple of kids talking to a supercomputer from the movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
We want you to tell us the answer.
The answer to what?
The answer to life, the universe, everything.
To real-world versions, like, okay, Google. Well, today, Will Oremus has a piece in Slate about how all the big tech companies, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, are trying to make it so we can just talk out loud and get everything we ever might want to ask for from a computer. Will, are we there yet where we can just talk and leave screens and other kinds of computers behind forever?
The other ones won't go away, but we're going to be doing more and more by voice. What that means is a lot more convenience. Just say, hey, Alexa, what's a kinkajou? This is an actual question I asked Alexa recently.
Right.
Alexa being the AI bot that inhabits the Amazon Echo.
Right. And Alexa gives you a piece of the Wikipedia page without telling you it's from the Wikipedia page.
Yes, yes, she does, or it does, as I like to say. These types of virtual assistants are going to be just giving you the answer to your questions. You won't always know where that answer is coming from or what the motivations might be behind giving that answer or that information source as opposed to some other one.
Which company is doing it the best?
I think Amazon really saw the future maybe more clearly than others. On the other hand, Google especially has a big head start when it comes to the artificial intelligence technology that underlies a really good virtual assistant.
You're interacting with it all the time on screens, and you're giving it more information about what exactly you want than you might with Alexa?
Yeah. Whoever makes the operating system for your mobile phone probably knows the most about you. So yeah, I think those companies will have a head start. And even just for the basics of speech recognition, you know, I was dictating to my phone today and I said my own name in the course of an email, and it came up with something like wheel or emus. And I'm like, come on. You have my name right there. You know, they do need to get smarter, and that will help them not only to make recommendations, but also just to understand what you're saying. You know, it didn't sound quite like Will Oremus, but I know that it's his name, so that's probably what he was talking about.
Will Oremus, senior writer at Slate about technology. Will, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay, Google, what's a kinkajou?
Kinkajou, an arboreal, nocturnal, fruit-eating mammal with a prehensile tail and a long tongue, found in the tropical forests of Central and South America.
That, by the way, was found on Wikipedia. The key case in the FBI versus Apple fight over encryption and access seems to have been settled for now. Larger war, though, far from over. Lawmakers in England are seeking more access to user data for law enforcement there. In India, there was a dispute over user data between politicians and the company BlackBerry. This is all part of the big idea of how to create policy for North American tech companies operating in countries with different laws when it comes to access to user data and user access to information. Jonathan Zittrain is our friend and co-founder at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He's here to help broaden our perspective. Jonathan, tell me about this proposal in France right now.
The kind of highlight of it appears to be a significant fine for companies if they refuse to comply with requests for data that is encrypted. If it were to pass and be made to apply, that would amount to a requirement that the company not build a service or product that generates encrypted data the company can't get into.
Might we see this debate play out in a way that tech companies that are designing the technology really be resistant to rules in different places and have that be a real problem for them business-wise?
Well, I think you see companies resistant to rules full stop, especially if those rules conflict with the values the companies want to uphold. Then a fallback position is, all right, France, we concede that you are making a law here and that you don't want certain results to come up when certain searches are made, but don't make us change the results that an American sitting in an American city would see. That really could be a problem not just for the Bings and the Googles of the world, but for the citizenry, because it might amount to the only thing you can see is what has passed muster with the censors of 10, 15, 20 countries. Basically, any country that could arrest a Google or a Microsoft engineer.
Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. Jonathan, nice to have you on as always.
Thanks so much, Ben.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.